13. The trickery of men and deceitful scheming. Satan has his methods. You can't see him. You don't know that he's right behind you, because he's not. He's not omnipresent. But he has a whole host of henchmen called demons. And we don't need to be too worried about this. We don't need to go crazy thinking about it. They're out there. And their work is to bring Christians down. More precisely, to bring the church down. This is written in the plural. To bring the church down. He wants us to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. I've just told you one of the devil's schemes. Take sin and label it illness. Then you don't need a God. You're just sick. You need a pill. You need therapy. You need a psychologist. But you don't need God. And after all, you know, I can't see. Is it my fault? I'm not responsible in that sense. So, if sin is an illness, you're not responsible. You don't have to feel guilty. You don't need forgiveness. You just get, you know, what you are. And people love it so, because they don't like to face themselves. And what a mess and what a wreck we really are. So Paul says, I want you to put on the full armor of God so you can withstand these schemes. And then he says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Interestingly enough, it really says against blood and flesh. Now, why it's written in that order, I haven't figured it out yet. But when I do, I'll let you know. But against rulers, against powers, that word is authority, against the world forces of this darkness. The world forces, I don't like that translation. It's cosmos kratos. All one word. World powers that are in darkness. Against the spiritual forces of wickedness. I don't like that translation either. It's just two words. Spiritual wickedness. Against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. Okay, turn back to chapter 1 of Ephesians. And let's just look at verse 19. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? All one sentence. Sorry about the New American Standard making it into two. Which is in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenlies, far above all rule. There's our word. Authority. There's our word translated power back in chapter 6. Authority and power and dominion. Power here is dunamis, like dynamite. Dominion is a word that has the prefix with Lord on it. They have dominion. These are in the heavenlies. Jesus is above all of them. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come, Paul is living in the cross section of two ages. One age is coming to an end. One age is just getting off the ground. And it will come to its big blast at AD 70. And Jesus is above every name in both ages. Nobody's above him. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Notice what it says. Let me rephrase it. He gave the one who's head over all things to the church. In other words, our Savior is head over everything. Nothing is above him. Nothing moves, nothing breathes, nothing happens outside of our head. That's our Savior. And this head has been given to us, the church, which is his body,
the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now flip back to chapter 6.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities. And then he changes the names. Against the world powers. But it's the same idea that exists in darkness. And spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. So Jesus is way up here in the heavenlies above everything. It's a picture. And way up here in the heavenlies are rulers and authorities and powers. But Jesus controls them all. And Jesus is way up here in the heavenlies. We won't turn, but back in chapter 2, verse 6. We've been seated with him in the heavenlies. So we're way up here in the heavenlies, even though we're sitting down here on these chairs. That's because we're in Christ. And so there's a battle up here in the heavenlies. Well, of course, we know we're an informed church. We know the heavenlies have to do with the firmament between the waters above and the waters below. And in these heavens are the sun, moon, and stars, which are rulers ruling the day and night. And the sun, moon, and stars all through the Old Testament, even into the New Testament, become symbols of people, governments. And when a nation falls, the sun goes dark, and the moon turns to blood, and the stars fall from heaven. Well, it doesn't literally happen because they're metaphors of people who have fallen. They've lost their power when God overthrows a nation. Now, we're with Christ, and we have this power, this might, this strength. We're supposed to be strong in it because we're ruling with Christ to battle against powers and authorities and cosmokratos. That sounds pretty good that way, doesn't it? Cosmic crud. And spiritual wickedness. But what spiritual wickedness? What all these are trying to do? And who are these up in the heavenlies? Well, we're not told exactly. Does it include Satan? Yes. Does it include demons? Yes. Does it include, well, it says no flesh and blood. But I think he's using flesh and blood in terms of, you know, the regular hoi polloi. Up here, where rulers and authorities are, it includes government leaders who change the course of this world under God's permission. And so in this land, we had government rulers who said, I know what we're going to do. We're going to say babies in the womb aren't human. That's what we're going to do. I know what we're going to do. We're going to say that gay people can get married. That's what we're going to do. Even though we know it's wrong, we're going to do it. Well, the problem is, it's possible for the church to succumb to it. It happens. You just, you know, do a circle and think as you're turning all around this country. And you've got in this church and that church a lesbian pastor. You got over at this church, people saying, oh, don't worry. We know why you get angry. It's because of this disease you have. It's a lie. But people like it that way. Because then they're not responsible. And they can be deceived into thinking, it's okay. I don't have to control myself. I don't need self-control. I just am what I am. And if we go along with that, we don't love people. If we love people, we tell them that's a lie. Who's going to be put in the lake of fire? Well, it's going to be the guy with an addiction to pornography. Well, that's what we call it. The Bible just calls it immorality. It's sin. Who's going to go into the lake of fire? Well, it's the guy who takes truth and turns it into a lie. That's who's going to go into the lake of fire. They're sobering passages. They're uncomfortable. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians, you see, this is what some of you were. You were effeminate.
You were homosexual. Effeminate and homosexual, they're two words for gay men. One who plays the part of the man, one who plays the part of the woman. That's what you were. But lo and behold, there's this power. Yeah. That transformed them. And they're washed. And they're holy. And they're in the right. Through Christ and through the Spirit of our God. So Paul wants us to put this power on. Be strong in Christ. Just making sure what time it was, because I want to go for another hour. Back down at verse 13 then. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day. The days are evil, but there's an evil day coming. Now, everybody in this room knows the answer to that question that I'm going to ask. What is the evil day? And God's people said A.D. 70. Because that's what he's talking about. That's what they're facing. That's what Hebrews is about. That's what so many books are about. Because the big persecution was coming. And we're reminded in Luke and Mark and Matthew that what happens is some people believe for a while. And then when testing comes, persecution comes, they can't stand it and they fall away. Some people believe for a while, and then like a plant growing and this thorn begins choking them out because, oh, what they've gotten involved in is worries and pleasures and riches, and it's become more important than Christ in the evil day, and so they fall away. Of course, that happens all the time in the church today. People are in the church, we think they're going the straight and narrow way, and then all of a sudden we don't see them anymore. What's happened? They've succumbed. But he's telling us, hey, get the armor on so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand your ground. Well, now, this imagery has to do with the Garden of Eden, and Adam didn't stand his ground. And this imagery has to do with the tabernacle, and Nadab and Abihu didn't stand their ground, and they got toasted. Fire came out, and boom, they're dead. Because, you see, we're in a long chain of the same thing. Adam was put into the garden, and God said, now what I want you to do is I want you to serve it and guard it. Guard the truth. And he didn't do it. And then there's the picture of the tabernacle and the institution of the priesthood in Leviticus 8 and 9. And the men were ordained to the priesthood and put into the tabernacle precincts. And their ordination was to last 7 days. And they were told to guard it. And Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire. And God took their lives. Now we come to the church. Well, the city. We've talked about the city. The city's at the end. And I didn't read it to you, but it's got gates, big as pearls. They are pearls. And they're always open. But nobody who's a dog or a sorcerer or a pornographer or a liar comes into it. It's guarded. You can't get in. Well, we're not to that point yet, but we're in the church. And we've seen in Ephesians chapter 2 that God is building this church stone by stone. In this church dwells the Holy Spirit. It's a dwelling of God. It's a temple.
And here we are, and we're supposed to guard it. Now, of course, there's an application to a personal life. All of us need to guard our personal lives. But in the structure of Ephesians, what really happens is the way you begin guarding is you do your due diligence at home first. You guard your house. So the church is supposed to guard the church, but at home, men are to guard their house so that truth is there and no lie. And men are supposed to teach their kids the truth and not let them accept the lie. Well, when the church is made up of families like that, the church is ready to guard. Let's turn to one other passage. Turn, if you would, to, let's see if I can find the right book. 1 Timothy chapter something. I'm looking for it. First Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of the truth. It's almost laughable in this country. So here's this picture of this pillar that's holding up the truth. That's what the church is. The church speaks the truth. It doesn't speak a lie. You come to the church, you get the truth. You don't get a lie because we're guarding the truth. Back to Ephesians chapter 6. Stand, verse 14. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Well, now, the priestly garments had a sash on it. And go around the waist until they're at a state of rest, and it go around a little up higher. But, of course, this sash, a girdle, is for doing what? A belt. I guess you don't say girdle in America. It's too female. You take your long flowing robes, and you pull them up, and you stuff them in the belt so that you can move like a warrior and do your work. Well, for a priest, he's killing animals. He's hoisting them up onto the altar. He's fighting sin through sacrifice. But notice it's truth. It's the first part of the armor. If you don't have truth, you might as well quit fighting. You gotta have truth. And where do you get truth? Well, it doesn't come on the internet. It comes in God's Word. And you look and you see and you say, okay, Lord, that's not what I'm hearing around me, but you said it. It must be true. That's the way I'll live. God's Word has truth. There's no lie in it. I want us to hear this. I talk to people, and I am so flabbergasted and distraught when they don't see the truth and they accept a lie and they ruin their lives. And the problem is they love it so. Make it your aim to know truth. If you haven't read the whole Bible, please read it. You won't understand a lot of it. It's okay. You start, and God will open up to you what He wants you to see. And then, you know, you'll read it again, and you'll get more of it. And if you got a question, look to the truth. See what it has to say about your question. And if you can't find it, talk to one of the elders. They'll tell you where the Bible talks about that question, so you can see the truth. And don't be laissez-faire about the truth. We've been through a whole session on marriage. Don't be laissez-faire about it. We've been through, I don't know how many sessions on rearing children. The Bible tells the truth. What's out there about children is a lie. When they tell you your children can't sit through church, they're lying to you. Do you hear me? You have to direct your children. Don't believe a lie. Hold to truth. I don't know how to plead any harder. Stand with me if you would. Lord, I could pray that Psalm 119 would become the heartbeat of all of us, and that we would be, like Psalm 1 says, like trees planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever it does, it prospers. Why? Because we love your word. And Lord, we live in a time increasingly where our world is turning away from truth and accepting a lie, and we live in a time when even the church that professes Christ is turning away from the truth and accepting a lie. And you've told us what you got to do is stand firm. So help us to know you by knowing your word and loving it just that way. This we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Find the right book.